From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on the Word of God as it comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. You may be seated. That phrase, be on guard, comes with it a sense of a defensive posture. To guard someone in sports is to be on the defensive side of the play, trying to keep the other team from scoring. When I was a goalie in soccer, my job was to guard the net, to make sure that nobody on the other team taking those shots could possibly score. So guarding is that defensive posture. Boxers put up their guard, right? To defend themselves and their vulnerable body parts against their opponent's punches. Also, outside of the sports realm, we can also be on guard when we're watching for something that we think might be about to happen. But I think my favorite use of that particular phrase is when we see someone carrying a sword coming up to somebody else and saying, on guard. I think it's my favorite because you could say that like a pirate or a musketeer, right? Although that phrase sounds the same and it has that same meaning for us, which is essentially defend yourself, right? It's actually a borrowing of a French phrase that sounds exactly the same, en garde. E-N-G-A-R-D-E, two words, en garde, which is a phrase used to warn fencers to assume the position of preparation when they're about to start a match. So whether it's in the controlled confines of a fencing match or an old-time sword-fighting duel, the honorable contender doesn't want to perform a sneak attack on his opponent. He wants his opponent to be ready to defend himself, to be prepared. And that's exactly what Jesus wants for us. It's why he says to us in today's gospel reading, be on guard. I kind of think of Jesus saying it in a pirate voice, but I don't know if that's how it actually went down. Probably not. But it's not the only time that he says it. Even here in Mark chapter 13, there are two other instances of Jesus saying, be on guard. Be ready, be prepared. And that's not all that he says. He doesn't just say, be on guard. He also says, keep awake or stay awake. And he says that also three times in Mark chapter 13. And he says it to alert us to the fact that falling asleep on our watch for his return could lead us to be unprepared for that great and glorious day. And so Jesus says, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. This whole text from Mark reminds us of the end of all things. That's what it's meant to do. For we will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And Jesus' purpose in this end time is what he says to his disciples, to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And then also to announce the deliverance of God's elect. And as that day of his appearing draws near, we're to be on guard. And to keep awake, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, but the salvation of the Lord will last forever, and his righteousness will never be dismayed. Those are the words that we heard this morning from the prophet Isaiah, and they echo exactly the reality of what Jesus is telling us in the gospel. The scripture makes it abundantly clear all throughout scripture that Jesus Christ is coming and that he's coming again. And he does that to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth, from the ends of heaven. The very one who created the world, who redeemed and restored this world by his death and resurrection, is coming back, as we confess in the creeds, to judge the living and the dead in perfect justice. Now, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus promised to return, which makes it seem highly unlikely to people today, including us as church-going Christians, that we're going to be around to see Jesus return. But Jesus' warning to be on guard is just as important for us today as it was for the church of the first century. And those words are not a threat. When Jesus says, be on guard, he's not inviting us to take that defensive position. It's actually a promise. And it's a promise that he is going to be here, that he's going to come back, and that he fully desires for us to be ready. They're a loving warning to each of us not to be caught off guard. Jesus doesn't want us to be unprepared when he returns. Just as that noble sword fighter is not interested in a sneak attack against his enemy, our Savior desires for us, who are clearly not his enemy, but his brothers and sisters, his friends, he desires for us to be fully ready for the time when we're fully reunited at his return. And our text gives us this picture of what it's going to be like when Jesus returns in visible glory and in all his power. When he returns, all will know that Jesus of Nazareth, the one who lived 2,000 years ago, who died on the cross, who was buried, and who rose again, he is Lord over all. The very Son of God, the Messiah. There will be no question about it on that last day when he returns for all to see. Now, we've been hearing all of this for the last few weeks as we closed in on this final Sunday of the church year. And today's text, I think, pulls all of it together. We're reminded that this created world is temporary. Its days, like our own, are numbered. Everywhere that we look, we're reminded of the temporal nature of this world. Gray hairs. I just noticed, like just yesterday, just this little spot right in the corner of my beard. Why is it gray? What is the deal with that? You guys know what it is, though. It's not just hair. It's pulled muscles, it's weak knees, it's creaking bones, machines breaking, toys falling apart, computers locking up. This world is falling apart, isn't it? Because it's temporal. Everything that we have in this world is going to be gone. Sometimes we really wonder if we're even going to make it through the day. And that's really what Jesus is addressing in this text today. All of these things, this reality that this is not our eternal home. So for a little context, Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem for what would be their last Passover together. And in last week's text, as they left the temple, the disciples turned around and they admired the grandeur of that building that had been created there. Because that temple was beautiful and it was magnificent in its architectural achievement. And those Jewish people took great pride in it. It stood as the center of worship for Jews to bring their sacrifices and offer their prayers to God. Here is where God made his dwelling with his people. So Jesus takes that opportunity as the disciples are admiring what's there. He takes the opportunity to teach his disciples about the end times and about the temporal and the eternal things. And he makes that disturbing comment to them that in the not too distant future, not one of those buildings would remain intact, and not one of those giant stones that they stood there admiring would be left upon another. And the disciples were naturally upset about all of that. So they asked a reasonable question. When would all of that happen? So Jesus tells them about the destruction of Jerusalem, which we know happened in 70 AD. But his teaching doesn't end there, because that's not really what it was all about. He pointed the disciples to the time ahead, the times that would precede the last day. And that topic, the end of the world, the last day, always seems to fascinate us. It always has an allure for us. And Jesus' disciples respond to that teaching in an understandable way, just like we do. When is all of this going to take place? Because I think that's what fascinates us most about the end times, is the mystery, the not knowing when it's going to happen. To believers, the judgment day, the end of the world, all of that is the fulfillment of the promises of God that are centered in Jesus. This is the joyful end, when we will finally fall into the arms of our waiting Savior, who won the victory over sin and Satan and death. But even though we know all of those things, we still want to know when. We want some road sign that gives us the exact details that we're looking for. We don't get anything quite so definitive as that. But there are some things about Judgment Day that we do know. We do know that in a flash, all people are going to be gathered from the four corners of the earth and will be before Jesus, including those who have died, their bodies raised to rejoin their souls. We certainly know that, but there are some things about Judgment Day that we don't know. And primarily, it's that one question, the one that we really want to know. When is it going to occur? Throughout history, there certainly have been plenty of people who have predicted when the end of the world would take place. And oh, so many of those predicted dates are now in the past, proving and reminding us of how terribly wrong they were. And Jesus even reminds us of how futile it is to even be guessing about the date of his return. He says, "But concerning that date or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven." And while we don't know when that last day is going to come, Jesus does give us some insight into what we should be doing as we get ready for it, as we prepare for that day. We know that we must always be alert for Jesus' return. Because he continues to tell his disciples and us this. He says, "Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake." Jesus wants us to be alert. He wants us to be on guard, to keep awake and watching for him to come at any time. And he highlights this desire with this illustration of a man who leaves home and places his servants in charge of the house. Jesus is the man, the church is the house, and we believers are his servants. And the first thing that Jesus says to us, the servants of the house in which he leaves us, is to be on guard for his return at any moment. Those first century Christians believed that Jesus was going to return within their lifetimes. They lived in that hope and that expectation. They kept watching and waiting and longing for his appearing. The message to us here in the 21st century is the same as it was to those in the first century. We don't know when he's coming. So always be ready. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be next week. We don't know, but always be ready. The Lord told his followers what they could understand. And he does the same for us. He doesn't try to give us more information than what we're able to process or understand. We do understand this, that for us Christians, life is full of trouble every day, precisely because we are Christians. But we're promised that the one who endures to the end will be saved. And we're also promised that we don't have to walk this troubled road alone. Jesus walks with us as we watch and as we wait. That's what being within the safety and security of the church does for us. We're constantly uplifted and we're sustained by the Lord himself in word and in sacrament. We're fed and we're nourished. We're forgiven of our sins. And this is also the place where the Holy Spirit empowers his people to be witnesses. Not just to the friends and the neighbors that like us, but also to those who hate us and persecute us. This is where we're reminded that we can endure to the end. Because Jesus lived and died and rose for us. And just let me say this. The church is certainly the place where all that happens. The most important things, where the word is taught in its truth and purity, and where the sacraments are administered rightly. This is what the church is, and it's what the church does. But it's not all the church is and does. Within this house, we care for each other. We pray for one another. We lift each other up. We enjoy one another's company and our fellowship together, because that's what a family does. And may I say, I'm impressed at how often we truly act like the family of God that God has called us to be here in this place. So keep it up. Keep being God's family here. And as his servants left here in this house to wait in great anticipation, we do have to ask ourselves a few questions. Are we paying attention to the signs of these last days? Are we on guard? Are we keeping awake? Or are we going along with the majority of the people, especially those outside these walls, who would say, do whatever you want? And the reason that they say that is because they've forgotten that the Lord has promised to return. What Jesus calls us to do is to fight that good fight of faith by remaining attentive and watchful, knowing his promise made to his disciples and to us. That promise is still good. Christ is coming. And when he does, we will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and great glory. And in the end, it's all about Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega. Paul says to us in Corinthians, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. This is what we have to look forward to, something that we haven't even imagined yet, something that can't be fully described, something so great and so glorious that we should be waiting with bated breath for it. For those in faith, those who trust in Christ alone, this is not a terrifying time, but it's wonderfully assuring. Jesus isn't planning a sneak attack. He is waiting for the perfect time, that time which is ordained by his heavenly Father to return and bring his people to himself. And as long as we remain on guard, We can await that coming with great joy, for he assures us that he comes with life, with light, with forgiveness and hope, and he comes to put sin and death in their eternal places once and for all. That's the message of our Lord's second coming. But it's also that message that we're going to hear throughout Advent as we anticipate his first coming. You probably noticed that this is kind of a transitionary week, with our hymn of the day today being from the Advent section of the hymnal. We know that the light of the world is coming. Coming as a baby in a manger, and coming in all his glory in the clouds. Today we have that reminder that Jesus has come and that he will come again. But we're also reminded that he regularly comes to us. Even today, as his body and his blood are offered to us for the strengthening of our faith and for the strength that we need in our daily walk and the assurance that he's always with us. So be ready for this upcoming season of Advent. Be ready for Jesus whenever the Father has planned for him to return to us. And be ready to receive him in all the ways that he makes himself known to us every day. Be on guard. Keep awake. Jesus is coming. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.